Mid-morning Monday, Paul dropped by to see his boss, Robert Kuntz, the National Peace Organization's Chicago Bureau Chief. Standing in the doorway, Paul recognized that frankly it was Kuntz's office he aspired to more than his job. Large and handsomely appointed with a nautical theme, the office had banks of windows on two walls offering sweeping views of both the Chicago River and Lake Michigan. Kuntz, at 60, was a big man with a shiny pate and a rim of salt and pepper hair. He was fiddling with his computer but gestured for Paul to take a seat.
"So, how were the holidays?"
he asked, eyes still on the screen. "The usual, except for Andrew Pass." Kuntz stiffened but didn't turn.
"You knew him?"
"Bob, you know I did. I saw the NPO guys at his funeral. They had to tell you I was there." Kuntz spun in his chair and held up both hands.
"You're right, Paul. Yeah, I know. You spoke. You served under him. I'm sorry for your loss."
"Thanks. But why the agency presence?" Kuntz sighed.
"Pass was a Christian fanatic."
"So the word is out."
"That's incredible. What about his family?"
"We think his brother John, goes by Jack, is in deep too, but he's not shown himself enough to be vulnerable."
"Anyone else? Wife? Kids?"
"Apparently his wife divorced him over it, so we don't think so, but we don't know."
"Bob, did we take him out?"
"What did your father-in-law tell you?"
"Nobody stonewalls like an old spymaster." "So that's a yes?"
"Well..."
"Why? He resisted?"
"You bet he did. I hear we confiscated an arsenal out of his car, and he tried to take a few of our guys down with him. One tough hombre, but you knew that."
"So the story about the warehouse fire..."
"Strictly press fodder. His Confederates got the message loud and clear, but we kept the public's nose out of our business. It starts getting out that this cult exists, it will only grow. And with martyrs..." "Don't get me started. Listen to this."
He turned back to his computer and scrolled.
"Over 100 years ago, Russia closed almost all its churches and disposed of more than 40,000 clergy. They turned city churches into museums and country churches into barns or apartments."
"Like we did."
"But get this. By the turn of the century, of course this is after the fall of communism, 2/3 of all Russians identified themselves as Christians."
"So insurrection was brewing underground."
"Bingo. Can't let that happen here. What happened in Russia and China and Romania decades ago could reemerge here, right under our noses. We haven't really eradicated religion unless we can contain the fanatics. If we let them get a foothold, we could see a full-blown religious uprising."
"Is there really an armed Christian cult?"
"There's a lot we're just learning now, Paul. We're putting together a task force to determine the extent of the problem, whether we have just a few isolated cells or worse."
"It's a disease," Paul said, "an addiction. Religion gets hold of people, then they can't seem to keep it to themselves. They spread it and get other people hooked. Makes me sick. The waste of a guy like Andy Pass."
"Exactly," Kuntz said. "And that's why we have to treat this like the war on drugs. Expose the threat. Flush it out. Eliminate it."
He shook his head.
"This has the potential to destroy everything this country has worked for since the war. I'm old enough to remember how things were. It was religious extremists who persecuted homosexuals, assassinated abortion doctors before we had childbirth grants to promote repopulation, and bombed stem cell research labs that yielded most of our cures for disease. And after the terrorist attacks of 05, it was the extremists who defied the tolerance laws and rioted, killing Muslims."
Paul nodded. He studied all this in grad school. Naturally, people wanted revenge for the Super Bowl and Disneyland bombings and the gas attacks on the underground trains in Washington, Boston, and New York. The same thing had happened in Europe when the Eiffel Tower, the London Bridge, and the Vatican were destroyed. And then the war came. Life on Earth nearly snuffed out because of religious fanaticism. "We're lucky the war ended the way it did and woke us up," Paul said. "The abolition of religion has proved the best outcome of tragedy ever."
"Tell me about it," Kuntz said. "Peace for more than a generation, not a single nation at war, for the first time in history. But we can't take it for granted, not now, and not ever again."
"What's this new task force?"
"We're calling it Zealot Underground."
"Bob, get me on that. You know I've got the background. The corruption of Andy Pass and so many others demands vengeance." The following week, Paul was dispatched to Mexico on a consulting job, returning the Tuesday following the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend. The big news in Chicago was that a speaker at a King celebration had twice used the archaic and outlawed term Reverend in connection with the martyr's name. One TV pundit suggested the city declare a moratorium on King Day observances until organizers learn to control themselves. Paul's secretary, Felicia, a tall black woman in her late 40s, couldn't hide her emotion.
Dr. King died long before I was born, but no matter what you say, the man was a reverend. They go stopping King Day for something minor as that, they're going to have trouble. Tell me the truth, Dr. Stepola. You see any harm in using a man's title, one he earned and used himself?
Yes, I do, Felicia, and the organizers know better, too. It's playing with fire to link religion with a hero like Dr. King.
Link? Isn't that where Dr. King got his nonviolence philosophy?
If you're talking about his tactics, I believe he got them from Mohandas Gandhi. Think about it. What that title links him to is occultism and ignorance.
I just meant
Dr. King was a product of his time. Do you think highlighting that era's blindness serves his memory? When we want to honor Thomas Jefferson, do we focus on his slaveholding? Felicia looked stricken. Paul smiled.
Am I going to have to arrest you for practicing religion, Felicia?
Cuff me. You'll need backup.
Oh, yeah? He said, chuckling. We'll see about that. But seriously, I spent 4 years studying the major religions, and I ain't gonna study war no more. That's what the history is like. Believe me, religion is the opposite of nonviolence.
Though he let it go, Paul was amazed that an NPO secretary would defend religion in front of her boss. But before Wintermas, he himself had given little thought to the likelihood of a Christian threat right here in the USSA.
We've forgotten that the price of freedom is constant vigilance. We take peace for granted, but not anymore.